and welcome to Travel Fun. My name is Mary Beth Clementi, and I am the host of this talk show on travel. And it is a hot, steamy day here in Telluride, the end of Mountain Film Festival, fantastic festival that we have. It actually is celebrating its 35th year this year in Telluride. And I have been able to snag Peter Young, and he is in the studio, and we've got our sleeves rolled up, and we want to chat about his latest film, his actual new film, his baby. Peter is the filmmaker behind The Last Ocean, a very moving movie that I saw this morning, as a matter of fact. And we're also going to be talking about travel to Antarctica, because the movie takes place in that part of the world, in an area called the Ross Sea. And you can start thinking about that, the Ross Sea, if you've heard about that before. And I would just like to say a few words about Mountain Film. Check it out at mountainfilm.org. It's a wonderful festival here in Telluride. It celebrates the mountains. It celebrates adventure. It gets people excited about the world, the environment, what we can do to make this a better place. And fortunately, they also take it on the road throughout the year and go to different locations. So you can find out more about Mountain Film at mountainfilm.org. And if you're lucky enough, come and attend it in Telluride. It's every Memorial Day weekend. And I have had some excellent guests from the festival before. And I had the pleasure of meeting Peter after the showing of his movie. And I would like to welcome Peter Young to Travel Fun and to the Kodo Studios here in Telluride, Colorado. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Mary Beth. I'm delighted to be here. Thank you.
It's a long way from your native New Zealand.
It is a long way. We're used to traveling. We're two little islands in the South Pacific. So whenever you leave the shores, you're going to travel a long way. And to get the opportunity to bring the film here has just been fantastic. It's, as a filmmaker, we spend a lot of time on our own and in a darkened room working on this story. So this is the light of day when you come and meet other filmmakers and people like yourself and just an audience that appreciate your work. So I'm delighted.
So many people that had the privilege of seeing this movie this weekend, just everybody was raving about it. I know it touched me deeply. I gave a little bit of a preview as to what it's about, the Ross Sea. And by the way, I loved how you started the movie out asking people if they've ever heard of the Ross Sea, R-O-S-S-C. And hopefully people have been scratching their heads since I mentioned it a minute ago. Where is the Ross Sea? Tell us about the Ross Sea and the movie, because that's where this, that's really the central figure of the movie, the Ross Sea.
Yeah, the Ross Sea is 3,000 kilometres below New Zealand, and it's as far south as you can go on the ocean. A very hidden corner of the world, and I'm a freelance documentary cameraman. I've filmed on every continent in the planet, and I can say that the Ross Sea is one of the most special places I've been to. It's the most pristine marine ecosystem that we have. It teems with wildlife. I'd describe it as a Serengeti of Antarctica. It has the richest waters in the Southern Ocean, and it is relatively untouched. As I said, it's the least impacted piece of ocean on planet Earth. So I went down there 6 years ago to film the wildlife, and that was the beginning of this project. I travelled down there with a Colorado photographer, John Weller from Boulder. He came to my house in Christchurch and basically invited me down because the reason why John did that was he had read a scientific paper written by a US ecologist, Dr. Dave Ainley. And Dave was the first person to alert the world to the fact that the Ross Sea was what we call our last ocean, our last intact ocean ecosystem on a large scale. And the reason why Dave wrote that paper was because a commercial fishery had been started there by New Zealand, my own country. And so 6 years ago, I went down there with John. We filmed the wildlife. We got together with Dave, and the three of us basically set up the Last Ocean Movement. We set up a charitable trust, and we built that community. And I've been filming that journey for the past 6 years and then brought it together to this documentary. So I say that it's a celebration of this absolutely unique and remarkable corner of the world, and it's about the race to protect it from our insatiable appetite for fish.
Peter, let's provide the website right away.
lastocean.org. So,
is it the Last Ocean or just Last Ocean?
It's lastocean.org, and our film website is Last Ocean Film. thelastoceanfilm.com. But so they're both, the film website follows the film and the tour and what we're doing in the lobbying stages, which we're doing now. And the .org provides a lot of the scientific background to the issue.
The movie starts out with this penguin traversing the ice in Antarctica, and of course everybody, it just makes everybody's heart melt to see it, and fun and frolicking. And the cinematography in this movie is fantastic, and you really take us to Antarctica, a place that so many people go to in their dreams. And that is one really big reason to see the movie for sure. And then when we find out what is going on there, I mean, I never would have imagined there was this kind of exploitation. I would have thought it's a science center down there. Nobody's bothering it. Nobody's disturbing it. It's forever preserved. And then it's pretty horrifying when you find out that actually it is being fished mightily.
Mm.
And that's when the story really develops. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, we first up, I needed people to fall in love with the Ross Sea, like I have, and most of the people who have been down there have. And then we introduced the fishing element. It is a revelation to a lot of people, because they think, you know, Antarctica itself is set aside as a preserve for peace and science, and one of the greatest moves of humanity to put that whole continent aside in the middle of the Cold War 50 years ago. So they have this belief that it extends to the waters. But 15 years ago, New Zealand sent that one boat down and started this fishery. And they did it through a little loophole. Not a loophole. They were allowed to do it. They had to apply to the body that governs the waters. And so they got permission to go down there. They found Antarctic toothfish in the Ross Sea. They busted through ice for many days to get into the inner sanctum of the Ross Sea. And perhaps I need to explain a little bit about the geography of the Ross Sea, because most of the year it's solid ice, and it's only in the summer months that you can enter the Ross Sea, and you have a window of about 3 to 4 months. So New Zealand sent this vessel down. It busted the ice and it found Antarctic toothfish. When people found out about that untapped resource, because they were going into this last ocean of Eden, basically, that was how the oceans used to be, a lot of other nations followed. And so what we had was a fishery that basically got a little bit out of control, and it's been reined in now, but it's still there. And so we trying to basically protect the entire Ross Sea and stop fishing. And so the political journey was fall in love with the Ross Sea, introduce the, the narrative of the film, let the audience fall in love with the Ross Sea, introduce the fishing, and introduce the politics of Antarctica, which are fascinating, and then provide the roadmap of how we can protect the Ross Sea, because, and importantly, I wanted to end in hope, because there is a chance that we still can protect the Ross Sea. It's the waters that lap this amazing continent, It's the newest fishery in the world. It doesn't actually make a lot of money, and most people don't know about it. And we reveal, you know, two-thirds of the way into the movie that Antarctic toothfish is sold as Chilean sea bass in North America. And that's what a lot of people are very surprised about.
Indeed. That's when I think, you know, I felt a pit in my throat, because I have had Chilean sea bass before, and it's a marvelous fish. And I've tried to eat less fish because I know that our waters are being overfished, and in many places we've reached the point of no return. And actually, it was in Mountain Film many years ago that I became aware of that. But still, we need these constant reminders. And that's with somebody who's, I consider myself, a relatively conscious person. Think about all these people that don't know the story behind it. And so the Chilean sea bass, indeed, it's a succulent fish, but it is just being, it should not be fished in the Ross Sea.
It certainly should not be fished in the Ross Sea. Where it gets slightly confusing is that Chilean sea bass that you'll find in North America comes from several sources around the Southern Ocean, and the Ross Sea is being lumped in with these other areas. Those ecosystems that they come from have already been fished, and so they're a managed fishery. Our argument and the whole premise of the film is that we should not be going into these last untouched areas of the ocean to fish. And it doesn't matter how sustainable the fishery is, you cannot justify destroying that global treasure to feed a wealthy few diners around the world. It just does not make sense. But, you know, it's fishing companies need to make money, and that's what we're up against. We're up against cash-strapped governments, the insatiable appetite for fish, and, you know, they're a formidable foe.
And it's important to point out, obviously, it's not just this fish. It's the part that this fish has in the entire ecosystem of the Ross Sea, and how it affects these adorable penguins and these beautiful whales and everything. We know we can't take one species out or diminish the quantity of it there without it affecting everything else it comes in contact with.
Yeah, the Antarctic toothfish is a key predator in that Ross Sea food web. It's a cornerstone species, basically, and that fishery is planning to reduce the adult population by 50%. We know from every other ocean on Earth that when you take a top predator from an ecosystem, it cascades right down through the food web. So that's the ramifications of that fishery. It is going to destroy the natural balance of the Ross Sea. And that's a place that the scientists, we haven't even mentioned the scientists that I've worked with, but, well, Dave and his, he's got a whole group of them that have said, we need to protect this place. It is our last living laboratory. And we all know what's going to happen. And we're sort of on that route. But hopefully, you know, we can do something in the next little while. But a very simple thing for that people could do in the States is just ask their supermarket, where does the Chilean sea bass come from? And tell them that it should not come from the Ross Sea. That they, because not many people know that the Ross Sea is this remarkable, pristine ecosystem, let alone that we're taking fish from it and destroying it.
And just because there might be a sign that says sustainable on it, that's to be questioned as well. You bring
that's
that
right
out in the movie.
Marine Stewardship Council, it's called MSC. You'll see it in your supermarket. It has a green tick of sustainability, and it's used by supermarkets as a guide to whether a species should be sold or not, and whether it's taken from a sustainable source. So the Ross Sea has had this tick of approval from the MSC, but there's a lot of debate about that whole process, and many people believe it's becoming a bit of a marketing tool from the fishing industry. You know, it's not, the MSC does a good job at starting to clean up fisheries, but they need to watch, you know, how far they are going. And definitely the Ross Sea decision was one that pricked up a lot of ears. And I've got to give a plug for Safeway here, because Safeway Supermarkets does not recognize MSC's certification of the Ross Sea, and so they ban selling of Antarctic toothfish. And they, once they found out about the process and the concerns of the scientists, they took it off the sale, took it off their shelves, and they support protection of the Ross Sea. So go Safeway.
Yes,
awesome.
Go Safeway. And we can also say bravo, Chef Eric Repair from Le Bernardin. That's a wonderful scene you have in the movie. Here you have the chef, and so many people know him. He was on, was it Top Chef, I believe. Anyway, he's one of the world's most famous chefs, and Le Bernardin is probably the most famous restaurant in the world for fish and seafood in New York. And you show him talking about how this is a succulent fish, and anybody can cook it, and the fish is delicious no matter how much they prepare it. But bravo to him. He has made the decision not to serve it in his restaurant.
And became an ambassador. But a lot of chefs know about this, and they choose not to serve that, and it's fantastic. Yeah.
One of the reasons I wanted to do this, aside from the fact that this is on the heels of Mountain Film, but for the past couple of years, I have tried to do a show about ocean awareness as we embark upon the summer season. And so that when people go to the beach, they can be more aware of the impact they're going to have. When they go to the seaside, sure, we all love to gorge ourselves on seafood and fish, but to be more aware, to be conscious of what's going on in the world.
Yeah, we have eaten our way basically through 90% of the top predators in the ocean. And ever since industrial fishing started, we've been on a very slippery slope. We're taking far too much from the ocean than what the ocean can replenish. And I think there's a lot more awareness than what there used to be. Even in the last few years, we're seeing a lot of these ocean documentaries coming out now. I worked years ago, I did a documentary for the as part of the BBC Blue Planet series, which they had 7 episodes that celebrated the wildlife of the ocean, and they did one that looked at the state of the world's oceans in 2000, and that's when I started realizing that, you know, the oceans are actually in trouble, and we just have to be careful and spread that awareness. You know, there's so many challenges we face environmentally, and the thing about the Ross Sea and this project is there is something tangible that we can do about it. And, you know, there's light at the end of that tunnel. If we can, I guess, the world could have the foresight and the generosity that they showed when they protected Antarctica, if they could have the same generosity and foresight and protect the Ross Sea and gift that to future generations. Because what a wonderful gift. Our last untouched ocean. You can go there and see and celebrate this wonderful place.
Well, one thing that you bring out in the movie that I found very interesting is that there was this incredible global commitment practically to protect Antarctica. Treaties signed between Russia and the U.S. and other countries during the Cold War. And this was all fabulous, but not so much was done to protect the waters surrounding Antarctica. And that is the Ross Sea. And that's why there's all this consternation, for lack of a better word, of what's going on.
And what happened, what an interesting thing happened, after New Zealand sent that one boat down in 96, and I said that the floodgates opened, it created this gold rush mentality. The CAMLA, which is the organisation that manages the water, and it comes under the Antarctic Treaty System, it had 12 nations sitting around the table. There's now 25 nations. And so, you know, in a world where the resources are becoming far more, I guess, precious, we're going to see this, and we're going to see pressure on Antarctica. And we've got 25 nations now making these decisions. There's been a proposal put in to establish a huge marine protected area in the Ross Sea by the US and by New Zealand. We've got the support of 21 nations at the moment. We need to get 25 to agree to that, and then the world's biggest marine protected area will be established in the Ross Sea. And we'll find out about that in about 2 months' time in Bremerhaven, Germany. So if people do go to thelastocean.org, they'll be able to keep track of developments here. It's going to be really interesting.
And so that's lastocean.org, and the site for your movie is thelastocean.com.
The Last Ocean Film.
Film.com. Well, sure, and I'm sure if anybody put that into Google,
see it.
They'll find it.
You Google it's Last Ocean, you'll find it.
Let's talk about the beauty of Antarctica and the Ross Sea. And I'll say once again, R-O-S-S, because it almost sounds like we're saying Ross Sea or Roth or whatever.
R-A-W.
And that was a funny part of the movie. But you were talking about how crystal clear the water is there.
The water is...
And this comes across in your film.
It's absolutely incredible. And I didn't go underwater myself, but John, the photographer, went down again another time. And so he went down and took absolutely stunning photos of the underwater environment. And he's putting out a book, The Last Ocean, as well, with that photography in there. So,
his website also?
We'll be posting the book on lastocean.org.
Okay.
John Weller... .com.
Right. And his last name is spelled?
W-E-L-L-E-R.
Okay.
Photographer from Boulder, Colorado. And so I used a lot of John's images. And another character that I interviewed was a fantastic underwater cinematographer, Doug Allen, who did much of the BBC's underwater material. And he was a great advocate on protecting the Ross Sea. And so I got Doug's footage. But so... Anyway, the clarity of the water is absolutely mind-blowing. Because it travels under the Ross ice shelf, and that's basically the size of south of France, all the material sort of drops down from it, so you get this crystal clear vision. So that's underneath the water. Then above the water, you have this amazing environment, because the Ross Sea is the ice and the landscapes and the icebergs. You walk on the sea, and that's part of this incredible environment. And you'll see species there that you don't see anywhere else on the planet. A penguin colony, and I'd say that these animals have never had humans in their environment, so they have no fear. They just go about their daily life, and you can be up very close to them, and they have no concerns. But standing at a penguin colony is... just such a visual, a sensory overload, visual, smelling, noise. These birds are never sitting still. They're always doing something. It's like New York. They're always going somewhere, something to do, and they are very, very funny.
But they seem a lot happier than most New Yorkers.
They do
and
look
you
happy.
Have captured
they make
that.
You happy when you watch them.
You have captured that magnificently, and this is a good segue. We just have a little bit left. I can't believe how fast the time has gone by, but this is a good segue into talking about visiting Antarctica. It's something that is on many people's dreams, and there is a way to do that in an environmentally responsible way.
Go down on a tourist ship, and... That's how we went down there initially on the Kapitan Klebnikov, a Russian icebreaker run by Quark Expeditions. So we had 4 weeks down there. And I think actually tourism, responsible tourism, and it is by and large very regulated and responsible down there, but it's a great way for the world to be looking at the Ross Sea. We should be celebrating this amazing place with tourism, creating ambassadors. We've got research, we've got education, science, far better ways to be looking and dealing with the Ross Sea than going down there and pulling fish out of the ecosystem. And so that was my argument to the New Zealand government, and is that why don't we go down and celebrate this place? And actually, what would create if we set up a big marine reserve, it's something that's going to be of far greater value to people in the future than a fishery that's marginal environmentally and marginal financially. And what it's doing is destroying the very thing that makes the Ross Sea special, and that's its the pristine qualities. So yeah, I think tourism is a great way. You create ambassadors and you spread the love.
And so much of your filming, it appeared to be aerial shots, but you said they were done from the top of the ship that you went down on.
Yeah, busting.
The beautiful ice and...
And the birds and the...
All the whiteness. I love the white and the birds and the
standing on
whales.
The bow of an icebreaker, busting through ice is absolutely amazing.
You captured that in the film.
Yeah. I could just... Well, it's an eight-day trip. I'll just... 8 days
from
New Zealand.
From Christchurch? Or?
We left out of Christchurch and we stopped at the sub-Antarctic islands. And we overnighted there. And then it was 5 days down to the Ross Sea. But of those 5 days, two in the Southern Ocean. And then we started seeing ice. And the ice started building up slowly. And when you hit the ice and you start moving in, the sea calms down. And you push through ice for about another couple of days. And then you reach large areas of open water. And that's one of the characteristics of the Ross Sea, is that you have these... In the inner sanctum of the Ross Sea, you have large areas of open water. And so the Ross Sea melts from the inside out and the outside in. And when you get in there, it's just calm and it's beautiful. It's like the white plains of Africa with these amazing birds. I mean, a lot of it, there's not the wildlife, and you'll find these incredible patches of wildlife. And when you do, like I said, they're just doing so many fascinating things, and it's great. Whales, penguins,
And the whiteness of it all and the big ice blocks. And
the silence is incredible. The whiteness, exactly. And the shape of the icebergs and such.
I'm sure the sky, too. You had told me about a company before that you thought was reputable.
Yeah, out of Christchurch, we've got Heritage Expeditions, and they've been going to the Ross Sea longer than any other company, and they are passionate about that place, and they've been great supporters of The Last Ocean over the years, which has been fantastic. You know, once they knew what we were trying to do, they got right behind it, and no other company's been down there more than them. They take about 50 passengers at a time. So you can check them out, heritageexpeditions.co.nz or maybe .com.
Heritage Google Expeditions, Google that. I have been visiting with Peter Young, the filmmaker driving force behind the movie The Last Ocean. And it is going to probably, by the time I have this podcast up on my site, bonjourcolorado.com, this movie will be available on iTunes. That's important to emphasize.
It is. Thank you for reminding me. We're going worldwide on iTunes on June 3rd, early June, and we've translated it into 8 different languages. We want as many people to see this film as possible ahead of this really important meeting in July in Germany.
Terrific. That's The Last Ocean. And Peter, thank you so much for being a guest on Travel Fun. And as I said, I can't wait to get this up on my blog, bonjourcolorado.com. And the other website is thelastoceanfilm.com, and for the organization, it's lastocean.org, and lots of good stuff. Bravo, Peter, and thank you for being the guest.
Oh, thank you, and very much, Mary Beth, and thank you also to Mountain Film. What a fantastic festival, and just keep it up. I love Telluride. It's awesome.
We hope to see you back here.
I hope so, too.
And safe journeys back to New Zealand.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Come fly with me, let's fly away.
If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay.
Come on, fly with me, we'll float down in the blue.
Fly with me, float down to Peru.
In Llama Land, there's a one-man band, and he'll toot his flute for you.
Fly with me, we'll take off in the blue.
Once I get you up there, where the air is rarefied,
we'll just fly.